Welcome back to the...
I'm not cutting that out.
Okay. Welcome back. <He's> fucking... All right. Do you just want me to go?
Round three. Do it again.
All right. Welcome back to the Jim and Kyle Fantasy Football Extraordinary Part 2.
All right. So in this part, we're going to pick up with the last couple segments. So we got the fab spending of the week. And then we've got a couple injuries, nothing as big as the last couple weeks. And then the matchup recaps. So we'll jump straight into the fab. The big spend of the week was Alec Pierce, wide receiver for the Colts. He went for $22 to TIFF. The next highest bid was $1 by Poor Boy. So a bit of an overspend here. I looked into it. Pittman is still getting more targets on the Colts. But so far, Pierce is getting the production because he's actually catching the ball and getting touchdowns. I gave it a thumbs down. I don't like spending that much money on a wide receiver two on a spotty offense. So that's my vote. What do you think about this one?
I'm kind of like neutral if I can pick that. And obviously, the bid compared to what the highest bid and the next highest bid were was a pretty big significant difference. But I really like how Alec Pierce lines up with Anthony Richardson. I know we've kind of joked about how poor he is as a passer, but his skill set lines up with Alec Pierce's skill set rather well. So I think that's why, even though he has less targets, he's produced so well, especially because he's like the big play target, which just fits exactly what Anthony Richardson wants to do, roll out the pocket, throw deep downfield. So I kind of like the flyer on it. 22 might be a little high for me, especially with, again, the next bid being one, but he was probably the best long-term receiver option there was compared to maybe one other receiver, I think, that was in the pool. But he was potentially the best one, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
We'll see what happens. I mean, you kind of like to have that kind of player on your team, because if you get those matches where it's like, I'm projected to lose this game by a lot, you throw that kind of guy in there and be like, you never know. He might get 120 yards and two touchdowns on four catches, because that's the kind of player he is. So he's that wild card, and it's nice to have those kind of guys to throw in there when you think you need, you know, those extra points to secure a win.
And like one play, he can literally make your whole night.
So. Yeah, exactly. And they happen in that kind of, with that kind of quarterback and that kind of receiver, it happens often enough that you can roll the dice and be like, I need a big play kind of thing to actually beat, you know, if you're against one of the better teams. So the next two of them are going to come from Richard's fire sale. Richard lost his first game of the season in week two. Before this fab stuff went through, and he dropped a whole bunch of players, and a few of them got picked up. So the first one that got picked up for the next most amount of money was Evan Ingram. I picked him up for $21. The next highest bid was by you at $13. So once again, I bid more than I needed to, but I got a tight end. I like him. Coming into the season, I liked him a lot more than Freiermuth, which is who I wound up with. Engram led the league in receptions of tight end last season. He was only a few away from the all-time record, you know, granted, extra week in the season, so take that for what it is. He tends to get hot in the last half, in the second half of the season for the last couple years. But if the Jags continue to stink, it might be a waste of money, but I was kind of hoping it would get me off the possible tight end streaming train. So I gave it a thumbs up, but then I watched Monday Night Football and I saw how bad the Jags looked. So I switched it to a thumbs down because I don't know if this one's going to pay off for me.
I think it was a good bid. I actually originally had 23 as my bid.
Ooh, interesting.
But because I figured someone probably saw me bid 21 for Isaiah Likely week one, would have thought, okay, I'm going to bid 22. Just thinking, okay, 21 seems to be like the number. So I bid 23 and I talked myself out of it after another player became available, and I didn't want to overspend on my fab this early. But yeah. I really liked him. I think the Jaguars look bad and they look broke, but they'll turn it around. Teams don't stay that bad that long. I think, you know, even though we kind of made fun of Lawrence before. I still think he's a solid quarterback. I think he'll turn it to at least a respectable level. And when Evan Ingram coming back, I think you'll see a big uptick in his success in production. And obviously Evan Ingram will be, I think, an upgrade for you.
Yeah, I'll definitely be starting him over Freemuth if he's back. And honestly, hopefully maybe part of their woes is that Evan Ingram's not there, because they do like to use him. I mean, he's kind of like a wide receiver two kind of guy on that team.
It's called tight ends, yeah. The safety blanket for the quarterback, right? So yeah. I think that does play into it.
So part two of Richard's fire sale is he dropped Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver for the Colts. He went to $16 to you. The next highest bid was by Scoots for $2. I was honestly surprised not more people bid on this one. I would have bid on him, but I saw that he dropped Evan Ingram. I bid on him. I didn't even notice that he dropped Michael Pittman as well. I would have threw in a bid. I don't know if I would have gone higher than you anyways, because, you know, I'm $42 in already on the two guys I have, so you're kind of pushing it by bidding more than that. But he leads the team in targets versus Pierce's, who went for more in the same fab round. And he was also questionable at the time I wrote it up, but I believe he played. I gave it a thumbs up. It's a wide receiver one. It, like I said, it's kind of a spotty offense, but he is a wide receiver one on the team. I mean, he's your guy. What do you think of it?
I mean, obviously, he's a pretty big down or let down on the season. Like, mm-hmm. He was drafted 30th overall or something like that, I think I saw. So he was considered one of the top receivers going into this. And after two bad weeks, I'm not going to write him off. I'm not a big fan either after watching Anthony Richardson the last two games. There's some big concerns there. But as you mentioned before, Pittman seems to be still getting the targets. He's the highest drafted one of all the players on the Colts from the most recent draft picks that they've drafted, like Pearson. I think there's another guy as well. So, I mean, they put the most draft capital in him. So I feel like they're going to continue to go to him. And he's the one that's actually proven he can do it. So I just think there's enough positives to have him as like my fifth or sixth receiver. So if like he doesn't end up doing anything, who cares? But he could end up maybe replacing Jamison Williams sometime if he starts going on a pretty hot streak. And then it's like, oh, hey, he's averaging 15 points a week. And then I can bench, you know, Williams, because Williams is kind of one of those high upside, low floor guys. So I need something a little bit more steady. Maybe I go between the two, depending on who I'm playing. So I thought it was a really good pickup myself. I thought I could get him even cheaper than 16, but I didn't want to lose out on him. So that was a pretty strategic bid. I think I originally put one down because I maybe no one else sees it, because it was pretty late in the week for him to be dropped. So I was pretty happy to get him.
Yeah, Richard is kind of weird with his things. Like, he just drops his guys instead of just like, oh, I'll put my fab bid down on this guy and I'll drop this guy if I get him. He just straight up, he just drops people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it makes a kind of, like you say, a fire sale. Everyone's like, oh, look at that guy. It's like a somewhat decent name. It's not like, yeah, we're thinking he's going to start for us, but at least he seems like a good bench warmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he should be rostered. I don't know why you dropped either one of those players. I get it. They haven't performed, but to just straight up drop him is, well, kind of strange to me. Anyways, up next, the next highest spend was Derek Carr for 20, went to Mike. The next highest bid was 15 by Lee, who swore to all our listeners last week that he would not bid on him. So a man of true integrity. So we've had some massive fab spending on quarterbacks this season already. So Carr went for 20 to Mike, and Ashley, what did she do? 26 for a quarterback last week. Is that right?
It was like 26 or 25 for Baker after week one. So
quarterbacks are going for high numbers this year. I don't agree with it. That seems like a lot for quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks with a history of not being great, who just had a good, you know, 2 weeks or 1 week to start the season. It's crazy to me. Carr got back to his roots this week, as did Baker. I gave it a thumbs down. Even without seeing the game, I had already given it a thumbs down. Any thoughts?
I feel the same way as you. I wouldn't bid on a quarterback probably more than a dollar, especially one that I don't think I can start every week. And Carr is just not a player I trust long term. So I would have rather had any of the other two quarterbacks he has starting pretty much every week this season. So I maybe he sees some more potential in Carr than we do, but yeah, I would have given it a thumbs down.
I think Mike has a soft spot for Carr. I talk to Mike a lot. We play darts and stuff. So I think he's always had he's always kind of liked Carr. I don't know why. He's had some good, like, sections of his career, but never like a great whole season. So I don't see it personally. But yeah. Anyways, up next we got Carson Steele, part of the Kansas City running back bonanza. There was a bunch of names being thrown out over there. Carson Steele's the only guy who got bid on Thursday. I think another guy went on Saturday or Sunday for less money, but Carson Steele went for $12 to pour. I mean, he was kind of like the number one that everyone was looking at in there. The next highest bid there was $6 from Ashley. I hadn't seen the game yet when I wrote this up. I didn't want to bid on any of the Kansas City running backs. There's like a bunch of them, and they're going to bring another guy in. I didn't want to risk any money on them, even though it's a good offense. I just gave it no thumbs at all, and they actually don't have the stats from the game. I didn't look it up before I recorded this, but I don't think it was spectacular, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I watched the game. I mean, he was pretty solid. I don't think he had anything over like 70 yards. He was probably right around there on like 14 carries or something. He was pretty much just runs north-south, lowers his shoulder, picks up a couple extra yards if he's got any momentum, kind of keeps his leg turning. I don't know how he's going to be as like a pass catcher, which if he's not a pass catcher, he's not going to have much upside. You're basically hoping he vultures a touchdown every week or so to be relevant. I feel like, yeah, it's worth bidding on any KC running back just to have somebody in the Kansas City offense, you know,
because kind of, yeah,
attached Pat Mahomes, but I didn't bid on anybody either. For myself in particular, just because I need running backs for my week 5 bye week. So I didn't know if I was going to have clarity on that situation in 2 weeks. So I just chose not to bid on him.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I guess I didn't say anything like about what I feel about it, but as far as my feeling of it, I'm pretty neutral. I don't think I'd give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down, but you can't.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was. Yeah, I mean, the thing was they've already signed Kareem Hunt. I mean, he didn't play, obviously, because he had just gotten to the team that week. And they kind of have Samaje Perine, who's definitely the pass catcher. So it's just like, I mean, are you going to have the pounder, the pass catcher? Are you going to have Kareem Hunt come in and actually be good? I don't see that happening. I think Kareem Hunt's past his prime. So I don't know. It's just such a washy situation. I didn't want anything to do with it personally. But maybe Carson Steele will work out. You know, like you said, when they get onto those, you know, close to the goal line, they might just hand him the ball once or twice and see if he can pound it in. Because he does seem good at doing like those, we need a couple hard yards, get them for us.
Yeah, he's definitely a grinder type of back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last one I had was Quentin Johnson, wide receiver for the Chargers. He went to $12 for Scoots. The next highest bid was $11 by Poor. So great value. He got him by one extra dollar. Sorry, Poor. Me personally, I don't think I like any wide receiver on the offense. They're barely passing the ball. In the first 2 weeks when I wrote this up, I don't like the passing volume. I didn't want anything to do with it. And now it sounds like Justin Herbert's hurt, actually hurt now. Like he might actually miss some games. I don't even know who the backup is, but he can't be better and they're barely passing as it is. I give this one a thumbs down.
I liked it actually. I don't think a team can in this modern day of the NFL keep up that pace of running plays versus passing plays. I think it's eventually going to even out more. Yeah, he's been a disappointment in his career as far as a draft pick is concerned, but they're giving him opportunities. He has very high potential. He's athletic, one of the more athletic players in the league at his position. So you're taking the upside swing with him. I would go for it for 13, 12 bucks. Like you mentioned earlier in the season, receivers are so important in this league because we play three and you typically want one in your flex. So I feel like receivers in general are just more valuable in this league. So take a flyer on one of them that you think is, can give you top 40 production throughout the year. And I would bet you that one of these three receivers that was in this pool will be a top like 30 receiver or so by the end of the year.
Did you bid on Quentin Johnson?
I didn't bid on him because I was pretty confident I was going to get Michael Pittman. I thought with how late it was, I was going to get Pittman. I didn't risk getting a two receiver.
I was curious. I only, I mean, I look at them all, but I only write down the first and the second when I do these things. So I was just curious.
I had a bid on him before Pittman was available. It was, I think, around the same cost, like $16, whatever I bid on Pittman was about what I had on Johnson.
So, I mean, cost aside, would you rather have Pittman or would you rather have Quentin Johnson?
Pittman.
Pittman. Okay. Just curious what your thoughts were there. I would too. That's all I got for fab. There were some more spendings on Saturday and Sunday, I believe, but I only really write down the Thursday ones because that seems to be where the most action is. Anything else there for you?
No. Okay. I hit everything that I would talk about.
Okay. So then we got the week three injuries. Justin Herbert exited the game. Pretty late in the game, he got with an ankle injury, but the x-ray came back negative, so he might play again this week, but keep an eye on it. If you got Justin Herbert as your starting quarterback, I don't know if anyone actually does in this league.
He's a free agent now.
Is he? Okay. I'm not surprised.
Lee got him injured, and then he dropped him like he's done to every other quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Well, he hasn't dropped Jordan Love yet. He's still holding on tight, waiting for that return. Next up, Devonta Smith, wide receiver for the Eagles. He got just absolutely smoked and he left the game with a concussion. I would keep an eye on this one. Sometimes you can clear concussion protocol the next week. Sometimes you'll miss a game. Sometimes you'll miss two games. He'll be back, obviously. But keep an eye on him if you got him. Were you watching this game? Did you see that hit?
Yeah, it was a brutal hit. That was one of the concerns about him when he came in the NFL. He's only like 170 pounds. He's one of the skinnier players in the league, yeah. So I think that is part of it. But yeah, it was a brutal hit.
Yeah, I hope he's all right. But yeah, just keep an eye on it. Next up, we have Sam Laporta, tight end for the Lions. He left the game. I think he got carted off, actually. And then he came back into the game, and then he left again. They said it's a lower ankle sprain, which is better than a high ankle sprain. So it's considered day-to-day. Keep an eye on it if you got him. I don't know what else to say. I hope he's okay. He's a good tight end. He's fun to watch.
It was weird watching the game because he like left, came back, left, halftime, came back after halftime, left after the first play, then came back at the end of the game too. So he was in and out all day. I don't really know if it's a concern, but he definitely struggling to play whatever it was.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. So, yeah, like I said, it's got to be day-to-day because he kind of kept going back and forth. Another tight end, we had Trey McBride, another concussion. Basically same as the last one, keep an eye on it. Concussion protocol is what it is. He might clear it this week, he might not. If he's your tight end, he's probably someone starting tight end, keep an eye on it and have a backup ready to roll. I didn't see this one, but...
It was actually the guy who hit him was Brian Branch, and they knocked each other out.
They both had concussions.
Yeah, it was a crazy hit. They both just lowered their shoulders, hit kind of head to head, and they just went straight to the ground. They both got up and walked off the field, but yeah, they both are out of the game for a concussion.
Well, I hope they're all right. That's all the week three injuries, but there is another injury update. It's for Christian McCaffrey. We're reading today that he is flying to Germany to see a world-renowned specialist about his tendonitis. So if you're a Christian McCaffrey owner, I feel like this is not what you want to hear. This is not something like a guy who's coming back after his 4 weeks on IR. And it's not something like a guy who was even remotely ready to play week one. This is crazy. I don't know what to say about it. This kind of reminds me of like the Cooper Kupp thing last year preseason. It's like, oh yeah, he's kind of hurt. No big deal. He'll be fine. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he's seeing a fucking world-renowned specialist. This one was in the U.S. at least, but I think he flew to like Minnesota. And it's like, oh yeah, he's on the fucking IR and he'll come back week 8 or something. Just just weird. The whole thing's weird.
Yeah, I don't. And you'd think it was it an injury before, like even like practice and stuff, like before, like the off season.
The Cup one or the McCaffrey one?
McCaffrey. When did he get injured?
I don't even know if he got injured. It's tendonitis. I don't know. I don't know if it's injury related or just like it's a thing people get.
I mean, that could be like a career ender, I feel. So,
it's possible. It's possible he doesn't play in the NFL ever again. That is a possibility. Obviously, they want him to. They're not sending him out there.
I think he'll still play, but I think he'll, you know, like Todd Gurley had degenerative knees. And that's what took his career. So I just feel like, you know, that's not a place like a running back wants to be messing with, especially when it's like almost 30 years old. So, yeah, we might be seeing at least we saw probably his last elite season, I think.
Almost certainly, which is sad because he was awesome. So much fun to watch. That's all I got for injuries, unless I missed something. I didn't update it since Monday night. I don't know if anyone got hurt in the Monday night games. So on that note, we'll roll on to the matchup recap. So week three. Week three, we had myself versus Ashley. I won. I was assisted by Baker getting back to his classic form and scoring an 8.52 for Ashley. That's always nice. Also on Ashley's team, we had Mark Andrews drop a big fat zero. Zero catches, zero targets, zero participation in that game. That was a weird one. If you're Mark Andrews, Andrew, are you panicking? You dropping? What are you doing here? I don't know what to do. I am a Mark Andrews owner in my other league. I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, it's concerning, right? I think they said he did six pass routes is all he did in the game. I mean, I think a lot of it does come down to they just had a game plan. Like we talked about, the way to beat the Cowboys is to run right at Micah Parsons. Whoever Micah Parsons lines up, you just run at him. It's a blueprint that people showed like 2 years ago against them, and they shored up their defense, the run defense, and it was better. But this year, it just seems like it went completely the wrong way, so teams are just doing it again. I mean, they clearly showed us that they don't care whatever they feel the game is, whatever is best to win that game, they're just going to do it. And if they're just going to run it 40 times, they'll just run it 40 times.
Yeah. It's alarming to me. Like I said, I own Mark Andrews in the other league that I'm in. And it's a high draft pick. It sucks to watch him start the season like this. And especially just a game like this is the worst, where it's just like you don't even get a single target the whole game. Like, not anything. Right. No production at all.
Six pass routes is all he ran. That just seems wild to me. He's
he just didn't
receiver first tight end. Like, he's supposed to be like your tight end that plays like a big receiver in six routes. That's just, there's some concerns there, some big concerns.
It's definitely not what you want to see. On to the next highlight, we had Rashi Rice. He has a great game. He has 12 receptions for 112 yards and a touchdown. To me, watching the Chiefs, I tend to watch the Chiefs games. It's so far this season, it looks like he took Kelsey's role. He gets all those middle catches, you know, he makes the moves after the catch. Mahomes seems to trust him, and he trusts him to like find those holes in the zone defense they always play against Mahomes. And as a Kelsey owner, this would be alarming. As a Rashee Rice owner, you love this. I don't know if it's going to be a thing all season, but that's what it looks like is happening there currently to me as a person who keeps watching these games. Any thoughts?
I think Kelsey's out of shape. I think he partied too much with Taylor Swift. Not to make this a Taylor Swift, but it has nothing to do with
his brother just retired too, so he might be partying with him as well.
Right. I just think he went out. He didn't put, 100% focus on the next season. And I think when you're 35, 36 years old, if you're not fully committed, your body's just not going to be able to like keep up. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think they know that too. So they're playing their offense away from him while he gets back into shape. So they might know they can get back in shape week 7, week 8. Until then though, they're not going to have like full route trees for him, full, what do we want to say, participation. He's going to probably play like a secondary role. And if it works right now, if Rice the way it has been, there's no reason for him to do anything different. Rice has been dominant. so far. Yeah. He looks like the biggest steal of fantasy so far this year.
Yeah, he's like the guy keeping my team afloat right now. Because the next note is Mahomes himself, who continues to kind of underperform as a quarterback. He keeps the interception streak alive, but he still manages to win the game. He's doing like okay every week. It's nice to have that quarterback. You know, it's not going to sink you like some of them do. Like they drop that, you know, 9-point game on you, but it stinks to not like have that upside potential that I feel like he used to have, where it's like, oh yeah, he'll score close to 30 or 30 points every so often. I don't know if he's doing that anymore.
I wonder if it's that we are seeing. We saw his ultimate season, maybe, you know, like we saw the Peyton Manning 50-point season or the 50 touchdown season and the Tom Brady, whatever, 48 touchdown season. Maybe that was Mahomes' second year, right?
That's the thing. It was his second year.
And I think we got so excited thinking like we're going to see all these crazy records. And he is that good as an NFL player. I just think that even with him being that good of an NFL player, he's not keeping up with the new age of quarterbacks, the like half running, you know, throwing quarterbacks. They don't have to be as good of him as like an NFL player, but they'll outproduce him just because of how much more valuable rushing stats are for a quarterback.
And in fantasy.
Right. So yeah, he's the best quarterback of our generation, but I don't know if he's ever going to be a top fantasy quarterback ever again, because yeah. I think we saw that he doesn't have that extra, 50 yards on the ground and a touchdown every other game that really sets him apart to be the top three, top five quarterback he can be. He might be just always stuck at that 7-8 because he's exceptional at doing everything else, but it's just not as valuable as Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts. None of those players are as cool. Allen is, but their two aren't as good as Mahomes, but they'll always all produce him in fantasy.
Yeah, it's that weird real football, the fantasy football disconnect, but yeah, I was hoping this would be the season he throws 40 touchdowns again, but it's unlikely so far, but we'll see what happens.
If he gets healthy at the end of the year, then you might be seeing it near the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's almost well, I mean, that'd be fantasy playoffs if they bring him back and start rolling before the playoffs, actual NFL playoffs, but we'll see.
Which is when you wanted to hit it anyway, right? So
that is true. Yeah, that is true. Anyways, up next we got Tiff versus Mike, the lover's quarrel of the week. Josh Allen had his bounce back game after the kind of pretty pedestrian week two game from him. He looked absolutely dominant. He didn't run any touchdowns, but he chucked the ball for 263 yards and four touchdowns, which basically all happened in the first half. If he would have stayed in the whole game and they would have kept their starters in, I don't know what he would have done. I mean, he might have scored 50-plus. He was doing whatever he wanted. They were absolutely dominant. He was dominant. But they coasted the whole second half. They were already up by 30-something. They weren't trying, and then eventually the starters got benched. I don't know what else to say about it, but it is what you see from Josh Allen fairly often.
I said it before, he's the best quarterback in the league. I think he's going to have an all-timer type season.
I hope he does. On the flip side of the quarterback coin, Mike started Derek Carr. He dropped a whopping 7.98 points for Mike. We already talked about this. Bad decision. Should have went with any of your other two quarterbacks on your team. Could have won the game, but you didn't. The other big note on Mike's team was he picked up Juwan Jennings of the 49ers, who just went absolutely fucking bonkers with 175 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, he was an understandable pickup with the injuries on the team. But I don't know how many people started the guy. That's a hard start if you have decent wide receivers. But man, that sucks to see that on your bench. But it happens.
I kind of feel it was maybe more predictable than we let on, because remember, Ayuk was holding out all season. Mm-hmm. So he was actually practicing with Juwan Jennings all the way up until the season started. So he might have already had a lot of reps already this season with Jennings, and it was almost like a natural plug him in here. He knows what to do. And then the defense doesn't have time to adjust yet because they haven't really seen it. So they're almost like a perfect match to have that blow up game. So I'm curious to see how the next 2 weeks or so will go with them and if teams adjust.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Mike puts him in his lineup and he drops like a, you know, a 3-pointer or something like that. And then we had Saheed. He dropped a goose egg for Tiff, which is weird because he looked like Carr's best friend, number one target for the first couple of weeks, and just nothing at all this week. Kind of weird. I don't know what to think of it. I liked him. I thought he was a good start. It's weird to see him get 0 points.
I heard he was like a play away from having our touchdown, though. So like it was called back, or it was like a bad throw or something. There was something that he should have been still relevant. So a lot of people are saying, like, don't worry about it. It will probably be an every now and then type thing, but he should have probably had another big game.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, he was great last year, too, so I wouldn't worry about it. Like I said, he seems like Carr prefers him over Olave. Whether he's better or not, Carr likes him more. He looks to him more. So take it for what it is. Next note I had, Kelsey has just third absolute stinker in a row. I mean, it wasn't as bad as Mark Andrews, which is another highly drafted tight end, but I mean, it hurts almost as bad. I think he had like 30 yards. So, you know, you got like 4 points out of the guy. It's painful. We kind of talked about it. Anything more to add or just...
No, I know it's my little conspiracy theory, but I believe it's what happened.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the tight end, battle, we had Laporta just kind of going in and out of the game. We talked about that during injuries. Keep an eye on it. Hopefully nothing's wrong with him. Next matchup features you versus Lee. You won it once again. You squeaked it out. It's kind of your thing this season. Be projected to lose going into like the final, either Sunday night or Monday night game, and then just, you know, your players show up when you need them to, and you get a win. But a win's a win. Can't really complain about it. Yeah. You finally had part of the win was you finally got a good game out of Ja'Marr Chase. 2 touchdowns, 100 some yards. Gotta like to see that. His start of the season was not looking good, and now it's kind of back to what you expect.
Yeah, I think they just started slow. He wasn't, again, kind of like Ayuk, you know, we were just talking about him before, holding out. Not really practicing with the team. I think it takes a couple weeks to adjust, get back into the swing of things, and it was an easy matchup, so I think it was a good spot for him to turn it around.
Yeah, Lee's team also was, he made some trades, but his team's still pretty beat up. Mixon was out this week, Jordan Love was out, Kittle was out. That hurts. What are you going to do? He almost got the win. Barely missed it. He did pick up Sam Darnold. He started him. Good start. He had 23.24. Can't really complain. We kind of talked about Darnold already. I don't know if there's anything else to say about him. Good start to the year.
Yeah, it was a good pickup. I mean, 23 points from your quarterback is really, really good.
Not quite enough. also, Achan, his new trade acquisition, has his first bad week of the season. But I don't know what to expect of him anymore. With, you know, they're on like a third string, fourth string quarterback over there now. I don't know what their offense does at this point. I'm pretty worried about Achan and the entire Dolphins offense.
Sounds like they're going to start Huntley this week, which I think would be a pleasant surprise for us if you have any Dolphins players. So hopefully that's something that does happen. I mean, he's already had a Pro Bowl, even though it probably wasn't legitimate that he was on the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowls for quarterbacks are kind of weird.
Right. So
many people were like, I ain't fucking going. All right, then this guy gets to go.
Right. He was probably like the seventh option. But, you know, he played well that year, and he does have some good games in the NFL where none of the other backups for Miami were even, like, viable, like, starters, even for a week.
Yeah. I mean, I hope for all. There's a lot of pretty highly drafted Dolphins players, so I hope for everyone's sake they get a little more protection out of him until Tua comes back, which sounds like he's going to. Next note, I had Green Bay's defense. They had a great game. Basically, I just know what this is. If there's a defense playing against Will Levis, pick them up. Will Levis is going to throw picks. Quite possibly pick sixes. That's just a defensive streaming goldmine. Agree? Disagree?
Overall, they looked really good. They're leading the league in picks. I mean, they didn't just play Will Levis all 3 weeks. You know,
we played Anthony Richardson once, though.
Yeah, I mean, probably the two best quarterbacks for your defense look good.
Yeah.
But they did play the Eagles well in bad conditions. You know, it's hard to play defense in that game when it was all, like, slippery. They look improved on what they were last year. You know, we kind of talked about that earlier in the season and how I felt. And I didn't think it would matter change the defense coordinators. But as of right now, it does look like it was a big deal.
Yeah, that extra safety we got to seems to really shore up our secondary, which I like. But last note, Saquon looks great again. Week two was a little more pedestrian for him, but he bounced back. He pretty much carried the team alongside with Goddard. But without A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, the production is going to come from Saquon and Goddard until they're back. I don't know how long they're out, but those are the two skilled guys they have. They're going to get them the ball a lot. If you got those guys, which you do, you got to be loving it.
I think he's the number one player in the league or in fantasy.
He might be. Next match, we had Scoots versus Vicky. Vicky secured the win. Scoots started Anthony Richardson. I think we talked about it when we were chatting with Heaves, but you cannot trust Anthony Richard to be your starting quarterback right now. He throws too many picks. He's not running the ball like he used to. So, like, there goes that, you know, extra bonus points. I don't even know what you do with the guy. I feel like you can't drop him, but I personally would not be starting him if I was an owner. I'd be pivoting something.
I tried so hard to get Anthony Richardson off of Scoot week two. Like, to, like, help me bump up and get, like, a different player somewhere else. Like, I'll swap you, Jalen Hurts, for Anthony Richardson. And then you give me this other player that's a little better than my other player. That was kind of my plan because I really liked Anthony Richardson going into this year. And I was, like, okay downgrading, thinking, like, I might even have a better quarterback at the end of the year in Richardson than Hurts. That's all high of Richardson. And I could not jump off that bandwagon any fast. I'm like,
I don't blame you.
Yeah, you got to find something else at this point. You can't trust him for the next couple weeks if he's going to keep playing the way he is.
Yeah, like I said, I wouldn't drop him, but I wouldn't be starting him right now. Quarterback on the other side, we had Caleb Williams starting for Vicky. He actually threw for 363 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he also had 2 picks, so it kind of like destroys your production when you have those picks. You know, I can't remember what our rules are. Is it -4 points per pick in our league?
It's -2.
Is it 2? Okay.
Yeah.
Even so, you know, it went from what could have been a great game to a pretty pedestrian game. I don't know about this guy. I mean, I don't know about their offense. It's hard to start him either. They should have been running the ball. I don't know why they're chucking it that much against that team.
I just don't think they can.
Just bizarre.
I think the offensive line's that bad. They just have to.
They got to do what they got to do. Yeah. Next note, we had Chuba Hubbard. He had an impressive ass game in Carolina's first win of the season. Switched quarterbacks. All of a sudden, their running back's great. Their wide receivers are great. Defense is great. Everyone's great. The power of switching quarterback midseason. I don't know what to say. We kind of talked about this earlier with the NFL recap. Anything else to add to it?
No, I think it's going to come back to normal this week.
Agreed. Yeah, and then we had the Vegas defense started against Carolina, which seemed like, you know, a good thing to do. An 0-3 team. They look pathetic. You start the defense against them, and then they fucking go negative points because Carolina was like the third highest scoring offense this week. What are you going to do?
Andy Dalton is the only quarterback this year so far to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to predict that kind of shit? The NFL is weird. Shit like that happens.
Exactly.
So we had Poor Boy versus Jackie. Jackie had her new acquisitions of Charbonnet and Jonathan Taylor. start off strong. They got 4 touchdowns combined, 2 each, and 50 fantasy points from the 2 of them. It wasn't enough, though. Poor boy won. Jackie was kind of let down by her quarterback, C.J. Stroud, who had that terrible performance against the Vikings defense. You know, sucks when your quarterback goes for less than 10. What can you do? Kind of already talked about him. And then we had Dallas Goedert just go nuts while A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith were out. And this is kind of funny because Jackie traded Dallas Goedert to poor boy. And then, you know, just got absolutely creamed by him. If they wouldn't have made that trade, Jackie would have won that game. But what are you going to do? Up until this game, it looked like Jackie was ahead on that trade. And now, and then when they face each other, of course, that's the game where the person you traded away just goes absolutely bananas. Has the best game they probably had in 3 years.
You can't even get mad at that point. You know, you're the one that made the deal. So it's just the luck of it, unfortunately. And it's just tight end in general has just been terrible this year.
Yeah.
There's no predicting it.
The way she falls sometimes. And last match of the week, we had Richard versus Carson's. Richard took the win. The Jags. This was a funny one because Richard was very confident in the group chat he was going to win because he was ahead by like 3 points. But he was ahead because his defense had like 12 points. And all the Jags needed to do was get a single touchdown in like an entire 3 quarters of garbage time. And it would have knocked his points down enough that he would have lost. But the Jags just couldn't do it. They scored 10 points. The whole game was garbage time and they could not get a fucking touchdown. It was honestly pathetic. I
didn't even realize that. That's amazing.
Yeah, because Richard had like 12 points from his defense. He's like, oh, yeah, squeaked that win out. I'm like, dude, you're probably going to lose. Because all the Jags have to do is get a touchdown. And the whole second half is going to be garbage time. They're going to get a touchdown, and you're going to lose 4 points on your defense, and you're going to lose the game. But the Jags just couldn't do it. They just couldn't score. It was flabbergasting. I couldn't believe he managed to eke that win out.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I had no clue. I remember him saying, like, oh, I won. I'm like, that's kind of weird. It's like in the middle of the game, but he must have just needed, like, 2 points from somebody, and he got it. So
he needed two. His defense started with 10. They bumped up to 2, and eventually they bumped up to 3, I think, because they got a couple extra sacks or something. But
yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty confident for the second half. I was like, there's no way that's holding up. And it did. It was crazy. But he won.
Has his convictions, and they're right.
Yeah, apparently. Other notes, I had Richard benched Dak to start Aaron Rodgers. It cost him about 8 points. Didn't matter, luckily. But he was pretty proud of starting Rodgers in the group chat, so I just had to note that. We had Derrick Henry in this matchup go for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns. You're a former Derrick Henry owner. You obviously like the guy. You like to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, they finally got back to doing what Henry does well, is he just run them for 30 times a game. He just grinds out yards early in the game, wears down the defense, and then once the defense is wore down, then he's just got more energy left in the tank, and that's when he busts off a bunch of big runs, and that's how he's always been successful. I'm surprised they didn't use him that way more earlier in the season, so
good to see. You did what they expected him to do with when they traded for him, which is good to see.
And it worked really well.
It worked extremely well. I mean, they still almost blew that game, but I don't know.
I don't think that's Derrick Henry's fault, though.
No, that was not Derrick Henry's fault, but just even so. The last note I had on this one was Kyren Williams. He went for 116 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he's just, I mean, he's the focal point of that offense now with both their wide receivers out. I just noted on this one because, like, I feel like people were really worried about Kyren Williams going into the year. Like, Blake Corum was going to usurp him or take half his snaps or take a huge chunk of his snaps. And Kyren Williams, the punt return and all this stuff. And, like, Kyren Williams has just dominated. He's been the bell cow. It's gone completely the opposite of what many people thought before the season. So if you picked him up with all those worries, good for you. I mean, it's looking great. It's looking just like it was last season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I was an owner of him last year. I was also a doubter of him this year, so he helped me in that group. I didn't think his body could hold up to it again, and I thought, you know, that's why they brought Corum in, who is a pretty solid prospect. The injuries probably help him get more of a workload, I think, just because they have to rely on him more, but you can't go wrong with the production. It's been incredible. He's one of the few running backs in the league that they don't even go to their backups. So he's getting all the carries, mm-hmm. all the touchdowns. And that's what you want in a fantasy running back.
Yeah. You'd love to see it. And that pretty much wraps it up for the week. We do have one last thing. We got to make a bet for this week. I think we're just keeping the tradition alive. We're betting on Thursday Night Football. So this week we got the Cowboys versus the Giants. We kind of already discussed it. I mean, I've kind of been shitting on the Cowboys in these podcasts, but I'm not a big believer in the Giants, so I'm taking the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. We kind of laughed that you wouldn't want the Giants in this matchup, and I do like them more. So I was like, all right, I'll take the Giants. I'm all for Malik Nabers. I think he is one of the next superstars of the league. That's how much I liked him going into the draft. I thought he was really good, but I think he's even been better so far through 3 weeks. So, yeah, I think he's going to pull it out and make Danny Dimes look respectable and come home with a win.
I think he might keep Daniel Jones's job for a little bit longer. That's how good Malik Nobis looks so far. That dude looks absolutely insane. But yeah, it's a divisional matchup. The Cowboys can't lose that. They can't go. They can't start the season that bad. I don't think.
You guys know Mike McCarthy. He does this stuff. His team's always underperform.
No, they usually underperform in the playoffs. They're good during the season.
He's underperformed in seasons too. They always started slow.
Yeah.
And catch on at the end of the year. I think that's more Rodgers than McCarthy. I don't know. I just don't have a lot of faith in McCarthy. I think he's losing the team. I think the way they lost to the Packers in the playoffs is also still kind of like seeping into that team. I think that really blew them up. You know, I think you see that sometimes with some teams that you think are going to be really good and they have one of those moments like that and they can never recover from it. I think the Falcons with the Super Bowl, you know, the whole 28-3 thing, same concept. I think that just ruined that team.
Yeah, that does happen. It's hard to get over, getting spanked like that when you think you're the favorite.
Especially because the Packers were such underdogs going into that game. No one even thought they had a shot.
Oh, yeah. They were kind of like the write-off. Oh, they barely squeaked in.
Yeah.
Wild card. It's at our home. We haven't lost here in 16 games. But yeah, we'll see. It's a shot of my Lord on the line. I don't like rooting for the Cowboys, but I guess I will this week. I mean, honestly, I'll probably still be rooting for the Giants. I don't care that much about the shot of my Lord, but fuck the Cowboys.
That's the way to do it. That's the spirit.
Yeah. Any other parting words for the night?
It was a good podcast. It was nice talking to Heaves. Seen in a while. Hopefully we can get him back into the league eventually. I know we're pretty stock of 12 people, so we probably can't really add people, but you know, if the next person leaves, maybe we can get Heaps back in here. It'd be fun to have him. It's always nice playing fantasy of Heaps, even back to the 920 league when we first started that. He was one of the first people that I brought in with you, so it'd always be nice to keep that going.
Yeah, I would love it too. We'll see if we get a guest on next week. We might take a week off from the guests. But we'll be in touch with somebody and see how it plays out with that. So stay tuned. And that's about all we got for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye now.